Thank you all for praying for me during my retreat. It was a beautiful time. Spent most of my time away in Assisi, which is the city of St. Francis and St. Clair. So certainly a lot of opportunities to be praying for you, and I definitely felt your prayers as well. We have entered into this month of November, which begins with All Saints' Day, and it's a beautiful reality of the cloud of witnesses that we are part of. They are in heaven interceding for us, and we are looking up to them, being encouraged by them. I got to pray with many saints, celebrate Mass at St. Paul's, where he is buried in Rome on All Saints' Day. And it's my custom throughout the month of November to talk about the lives of the saints. So talk a little bit about St. Francis a bit later in this homily. We also celebrate this month as a commemoration of All Souls, which we celebrated on the 2nd of November. And in a particular way throughout this month, we're remembering and praying for our beloved dead. In the scriptures, we're told many times that we are one body in Christ. Part of the reality is that the church here on earth, we call the church militant, we're still fighting for our salvation and the salvation of our brothers and sisters, is united with the church triumphant, the saints in heaven, and the church that is being purified in purgatory. It's one of the reasons why we believe that our prayers for our beloved dead truly have an effect, are truly worthy and worthwhile practices, because of the strong bond that exists between us and those who have gone before us. We are one body in Christ. One of the consequences of this reality is that when one member suffers, all the members of the body suffer with him. And likewise, when one member rejoices, all the members rejoice with her. So we rejoice with all the saints, and we sacrifice and suffer with those who are going through that purgation and purgatory. This reality is much like our own human lives, the mind, body, and spirit, which make up who we are interrelated. If we have an illness in our body, our mind and our spirit are affected. Conversely, when we are mentally and emotionally healthy, our body renews and heals itself more quickly and more easily. Scientific studies have shown this. When we are connected with God in a strong friendship in our prayer life, our perspective and our outlook on life in general becomes more positive, and we're more easily able to cope with the struggles and the sufferings that come with life. We are an interrelation between mind, body, and spirit. And that helps us understand this image from the scriptures of being one body, and how what's happening in some members affects all of the rest of the body. Certainly in our community these last few weeks, we are deeply saddened by tragic death of a young child, of one of our high schoolers, Carson Buchholzer. So that sadness we enter into, and we certainly lean into prayer for him and for his family. And we're also called even more deeply to that reality of interceding for those who have gone before us. Another element of this reality of the mystical body of Christ is the interrelationship between the clergy and the lay people in the church. Now, one person that can teach us a lot about this is Saint Francis. Has a marvelous kind of story, especially with relation to this. You probably know Saint Francis underwent a conversion when he was a young man, And he decided to cast off all that he was had been previously searching for, above all wealth and popularity. And he decided to become a poor lay penitent. In other words, he was going to live in poverty, voluntarily doing penance for his sins. Now, later we kind of read his choice as kind of a counter against the abuses that were taking place in the church at the time. That wasn't his intention at all. His intention was deeply personal. Although the Lord called him to something that would affect the church as a whole. Famously, in the church of San Damiano, just outside of Assisi, the Lord spoke to him through the crucifix, saying, "Francis, rebuild my church, which is falling into ruin." So he did become this model of reform through his life, but that was not his intention. His intention was to just live as a poor layperson doing penance. Nor was it his intention to found a religious order. But all of a sudden he found that people began to join him. They saw his pursuit of God and of holiness, and they wanted to join themselves to him. So he found himself in this strange reality of being called deep to this deeply personal life of penance, but now also having to lead a group of brothers, which he was never entirely comfortable with. He was trying to live the pure gospel and to be always the servant. So multiple times throughout his life, he stepped down as the leader of his own order, and he would place someone else in charge. But they weren't always doing exactly what he had envisioned his life was, he was being called to. So he would tell someone to, you know, to order him around, and then he would tell them that they were telling him the wrong thing. Okay. But anyway, so we see how deeply human this saint was as well. See some of the married couples looking at each other in this reality. But so Francis essentially saw himself as this lay person. But he had this role of reforming the church. At the same time, he had this deep respect for the authority of the church, for her ordained ministers, and for the rights of the church. Although he had received from the Pope this mission now to do penance and to preach, he often scolded his brothers when they would go to a place and not seek the permission and the blessing of the bishop before they began their preaching. He deeply recognized and understood that the Lord had established a hierarchical church, and that the Lord had given his authority to these bishops and priests. Even though many of them were not living a life of holiness, he respected the authority in their office because he loved the sacraments of the church. He loved the truths of the church. Very much like Jesus saying about the Pharisees, that they have taken their seat on the chair of Moses, right? The Lord gave authority to Moses, who then shared it with others. So do and observe everything that they tell you, but beware of their example because of their hypocrisy, which all of us in different ways might acknowledge in our own lives. And so Francis, just like that, recognized the authority and the truth and the beauty of the sacraments. So he supported and always upheld this great respect for the authority of the church. At the same time, he was not afraid to criticize the clergy. Above all, what we see in his writing is a deep love for the Holy Mass and for the celebration of the sacraments. So when he saw priests that weren't very good in their Latin and were mumbling the words, he would call them out on it. When he saw priests that were not following the rites of the church, he was absolutely incensed and angry. When he saw sanctuaries, churches that were dirty, or the vessels that were used for the sacrifice of the Mass were not fitting and proper, he was irate, okay? He was not afraid to criticize them for these things because he knew the reality of the sacraments. He had true faith. So Francis, as a lay person, although eventually he was a clergyman, he was ordained a deacon, had this relationship that brought the best out of the clergy. And many of the clergy actually left their churches to join him in his order of doing penance. But also he knew and had this great respect for the clergy. We see that Jesus has a harsh criticism of the Pharisees today, that they have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. But we are to listen to their teaching, even though we do not need to follow their hypocritical example. You see, the reality of the body of Christ and the interrelationship between the laity and the clergy is that when one suffers, the other suffers. And when one is healthy, the other is drawn into greater health. When the clergy are in a strong relationship with God, rather than taking, which is the problem with the Pharisees, taking their seat rather than receiving faithfully and humbly the word of God, then the sheep will be well fed and inspired to holiness. Conversely, when the laity are striving for holiness, the pastors of the church are also inspired to do the same. And when we recognize your deep desire and need for the things of the spiritual life, we are more inspired to provide those things that you need. When the pastors, as Paul says today, have a tender and gentle affection for their people, then the people are more open to receive even the more challenging calls to repentance that are part of the gospel. And when the people have a healthy respect for the vocation and the authority of the priests and bishops, these very same pastors will more attentively listen to the people's loving critiques that we sometimes or perhaps often need. When each serves the other in humility, the whole body benefits and is exalted. We have a great example of that in St. Francis, who brought out the best in the clergy of the church by inspiring the laity to holiness. And we ask too today that each of us, whatever our state of life, would strive for holiness so that the whole body would benefit and would be drawn into greater health.